John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Oh, we're doing okay. We're worried about the Cubs suddenly kind of losing some offensive momentum. You know, you can lose a series. Everyone knows that happens, but they've lost a couple now. And the weird thing is Kyle Tucker, the big offensive show has slowed down, and I think that gives everyone a kind of a moment to gasp, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be too worried about Kyle Tucker. He's got a pretty good track record. Everybody goes through things. Obviously, Soto did earlier. Lindor did very early in the season. He's back on track. I mean, when the season's over, his numbers will be there. I like where the Cubs are. They've had the toughest schedule of anybody in baseball, and the next 21 games are against teams with losing records. Now, they're not all the White Sox or the Rockies. Some of them are, you know, only a few games under, but they've got the White Sox and the Rockies in there and among the 21. So I think they've set themselves up well by playing over 30 games against teams with winning records to this point. And I think they're in great shape. I know they're only a game in front right now with St. Louis shockingly hot and winning several in a row, but I like where the Cubs are.
Cade Horton on Saturday made his major league debut against the Mets, as we know. Four innings, 77 pitches, struck out five. Did not walk anybody, gave up that three-run shot, and I think that was all he gave up, but he won the game. He got the victory. What is your impression of Cade Horton against the Mets, and what did you think about the way the Cubs used him as a reliever?
Well, it worked. You know, they didn't give him the shock of facing Lindor, Soto, and Alonso to start off his major league career, so it did work. I'm not sure if somebody deserves a win if they're avoiding the best three players, at least even for an inning. But you know what? He's got great stuff. It was beyond that great slider that he has, beyond the fastball, showed an excellent third pitch, and he's certainly very, very talented. You guys campaigned last week when I was in there for Elko and Horton to be brought up was 100% successful. So congratulations to you guys.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I mean, how hard is that one to figure out? The White Sox were the penultimate team in home runs. They bring up a guy after, you know, a week. They went, John, of losing without scoring, and then the guy hits the three-run homer, and they win a game. Like, duh!
Well, I think we were all in agreement on that one. You know, Elko was performing spectacularly. They were citing some kind of secondary stats, and that Vaughn was doing better through the secondary stats, but I think there's room for both of them. I get it. You pick Vaughn third. You don't want to give up on him. You know, he's still a prospect. But Elko certainly deserved it. National champion in Mississippi. He's 26 years old, was performing once again at AAA. They did the right thing. I don't know if they did it because you guys told them to, but whatever the reason, it worked. And congratulations to them as well.
So the last two Sox games, yeah, Tim Elko has been here. Luis Robert has been absent on the bench, injured apparently, resting his knee because they got an off day today, John. But when you look at some of the trade scuttlebutt that continues surrounding Luis Robert Jr., how badly do the Mets need a center fielder? And you see that as a good match.
Yeah, I feel like I'm shooting down Luis Robert trade rumors every week. I get it. It's out there. I don't think there's anything hot with Luis Robert. He has obviously not performed as he did a couple years ago when he had 38 home runs. I know he's got some stolen bases. He's a solid to above average center fielder. You know, I just don't see anything happening until he really gets close to performing as he did a few years ago. The Mets, I don't think they're desperate. They've got good defense in center right now. They don't have much offense with Taylor waiting on Siri to get back. But, I mean, they get offense out of just about everywhere else. So center field is really the only weak spot they have in terms of offense. I don't see them as – I know they've checked in on Robert in the past, but I don't – I mean, I know Steve Cohen's got limitless budget, but – I just don't see them spending another $20 million plus the tax, so another $22, $42 million yearly on offense. You know, I know their pitching is number one in baseball, but, you know, they're doing it with guys who have not done this before. And I think it's going to be pitching for them and almost every other team. I think you'll probably have to find a different team for Luis Robert.
You know, of all the teams to go on a run, why does it have to be the Cardinals and the Twins? Are there any more despised teams from a Chicago standpoint?
No.
Well, the good news is they've only worked their way back to a little above 500. So, the Twins are a decent team, but in that division has become good. I mean, look, Detroit's a really good team. Mm. I think Kansas City, their pitching is excellent. The Cardinals, Ollie Marmol, he's off the hot seat at this moment. I know that firing manager seems to be in vogue at the moment. He's done a good job. They're over 500 when they're doing their reset or whatever they want to call it. But I'm going to be in the National League. I'm going to be shocked if the Cardinals make the playoffs. The Cubs are the best team in that division, and I think over the next 21 games, they should lengthen their lead.
Against losing teams, that is the next 21 games. You're exactly right, John. So let's stay in the National League. Were the Rockies just waiting for the Pirates to fire their manager, Derek Shelton, before they launched Bud Black? What's going on? Is this earlier than maybe usual when you start to see firings of managers?
Well, they are 7-33, so, I mean, I can't guess at any logic involving the Rockies. They really hate firing anybody, so I know this was probably painful for them. It's not going to make any difference. Their team is really terrible. They are an outstanding threat to beat that White Sox. It's almost unfair. The Mets held that lost record at 120 for 62 years. White Sox, they've had it for 1 year, and they're about to lose it, I think. It's amazing. It really is. Looking at the guys, at the half dozen guys that they're actually paying real money to in Colorado, they're all been terrible. I mean, Bryant, as you guys know, is out. So he wasn't very good when he was playing, but he was playing hurt. Now he's out. All of them have been bad. Senzatella, terrible. Freeland, terrible. McMahon, the Cubs even had some interest in him at some point. He's been terrible. I don't think it's the manager's fault, but at 7-33, I'm surprised he didn't quit. That's the surprise for me.
Well, I was saying to David, why did the White Sox stay so long with Pedro Grifol? That's my only takeaway. I know it's not the manager's fault, honestly. I do know that. But surely that was a guy that could have been fired a lot earlier last year.
Well, Jerry is famous for his loyalty. I mean, he's a Mr. Loyal. And the only one probably more loyal or afraid to fire in his case is probably the Montforts in Colorado. They don't want to fire anybody. When Dan O'Dowd left, I don't know how many years, 10 years ago now, I mean, they offered him a 5 or 6 year deal to stay, and he said, I had enough, and he quit. But, most people don't quit these high-paying jobs. And, I guess that's what the Rockies are waiting for, somebody to quit. And it didn't happen in this case. And I saw in the release they said that he was relieved of his duties. And I think normally I look at that as a complete euphemism, a bunch of BS, that someone's relieved of their duties. In this case, I do think Bud Black is relieved.
So, John, as an employee of the New York Post, how far back are you in line to interview Vatican City's biggest baseball fan?
Oh, man, I know. Isn't that awesome? Not only an English speaker, but an American. Not only an American, but a Chicagoan who's a baseball fan.
Not only a Chicagoan, but a South Sider, John. Come on!
It's awesome. I think it's awesome. This is a real guy, a real fan, and it's amazing they came up with pictures of him celebrating and in the stands rooting the White Sox on in 2005. I'm glad his brother was able to clear it up for you, Mully. I know that he had you in mind, and I'm sorry for the Cubs. I know they were excited there for a day or two when the reports were suggesting. I think people were just guessing that he's a Cubs fan. He's from Dalton, right? My roommate
yes.
in at Northwestern was from Dalton. There are no Cubs fans in Dalton, right? So it makes sense. Good for him. It's fantastic.
So
really
you know
is.
A guy who knows a guy who knows the Pope, too. Everybody does in Chicago now.
His church was across the street from the Pope's church, he tells me in Dalton. His dad was the preacher at this church across the street. He's Lutheran, though, so he's not really, you know, they're not quite on the same wavelength, but a church across the street.
Close enough.
Milton.
That's so ridiculous. It's so much fun. You know, I'm just curious, John, when I look at Shane Smith and what he's managed to do up to this point, and I think everybody agrees that if you have to have an all-star, he's probably the White Sox all-star. Does that mean he's on the trading block? Does that mean that they'll try to Eric Fetty him somehow before it's all over?
No, he's not making that kind of money. He's not that close to free agency. So, no, I think you're safe there. I mean, Robert's the key guy. You know, I'm sure they would love to trade Vaughn, but he's not really tradable. Shane Smith, I think, is there to stay. You know, that's where the White Sox have built up some decent capital is in that rotation. It looks potentially good in the future. You never know with pitching particularly, but with Schultz and Hagen Smith and Shane Smith, I think they're looking pretty decent there, and it's certainly a catcher with Caro and Teal. So pitching and catching, if it's a two-man game, they're in great shape. But, you know, obviously they're going to need some hitters at some point.
You know, we talked about the Twins getting hot. Certainly the Royals have been as well. And yet in that division, the Tigers look like the class of the AL Central. They just keep on winning, John. And I think when you look at what they're doing top to bottom, and Javi Baez playing center field, they're getting good pitching out of Skubal now, who was off to a slow start, but certainly has changed direction. They look like they have a formula that's sustainable.
Absolutely. I mean, they shocked us all, including themselves, by making the playoffs. We're actually going to have Scott Harris on our podcast today, Northwestern guy, I might add. They've done a great job. I'm not just saying that because he's agreed to come on our podcast, but look at that rotation. I know Mize is out at the moment. He's got league-leading 6 wins, but they have 5 starters who are viable starters. The rotation, their bullpen, excellent. And, you know, I don't think anybody really utilizes the bullpen better than A.J. Hinch does. That was a guy the White Sox were interested in hiring before they switched courses, if you could recall. But their bullpen is excellent. Their rotation is deeper than most. And I do believe Skubal is the best pitcher in baseball. So they're in good shape. They have enough hitting between Carpenter and Riley Green. They've got guys who are performing. Dingler, I mean, basically all of them are above average in hitting as of now. Even your old friend Javier Baez is above average in hitting right now.
Right. He's really he's comeback player of the year since moving to the outfield and since moving to center field. All of a sudden he's juiced up again and he's interested. It's pretty amazing.
Absolutely. He looks like a Gold Glover out there, and he's hitting to this point. So, I mean, I was thinking he was releasable, and they gave him a new position, and it's working out. So good for Javier Baez. All the people in New York will never forgive him, not just for the thumbs down. They lost Pete Crow Armstrong to get Javier Baez, which we are reminded of every single day, it seems like, in New York.
Especially with that home run that tied the game the other day in the eighth. So, John, you look at the calendar. It's May 12th. We have conversations about the Cubs, and they all revolve around the same thing. They probably need to go get a starting pitcher. They're probably going to need some help in the bullpen. And, oh, by the way, if there are any third basemen on the trading block, they'd be interested as well. When do these deals start to be made? When does the speculation begin to percolate a little bit more than seems realistic right now?
Yeah, well, I like to speculate at any point, but the reality of it is that the trades don't normally happen until July. There have been a couple occasions where they happened earlier. Obviously, Sabathia is a famous example with the Brewers getting him and him performing amazingly well, but generally they don't happen until July. And, you know, a lot of these potential trade targets are on teams that are kind of in the middle right now, so it could go either way, and teams don't like to signal that they're out of it, not doing, going to make it until July. So I think, you know, at least half the trades happen that final day of the deadline, and probably 90% of them happen in the final month. So I think you got to wait. There are potential trade guys. I mean, I don't think Toronto's going to be a trader, but they've got guys, obviously, with Bassett and Gausman. You've got Obviously, Minnesota's doing well now. St. Louis is doing well, so we don't know about Lopez or Gray or anybody on those two teams, but there will be guys available. I mean, Alcantara has not been great, you know, as you guys saw.
Yeah.
He's struggling. He's going to have to get his act together. That's the most logical one because the Marlins are obviously not a contender, and he's the one guy on their team still there making pretty big money, and former Cy Young winner not that long ago either. So that's probably the guy that's most likely to go because he's on the team that's not doing well. The other teams that are not doing well, they just don't have starters that teams are going to be clamoring for, or guys who are veterans. It's just not happening between the Rockies and some of these other teams. The Pirates, I mean, they've got good young starters, but they're not going anywhere. So got to wait and see probably for at least another month and a half.
I'm curious, John, and I don't want to be kind of claiming that there's any purpose to any of this stuff, but we're getting a lot of people who think that Justin Turner should be DFA'd. We're getting a lot of those this after the weekend. He kind of was forced to play a little bit because Ian Happ is out, and I just wonder, would they be better off bringing up a guy like Ballesteros, who's a professional hitter type, as opposed to staying with a guy at age 40 that probably has his best days behind him?
Yeah, I mean, that certainly will become a consideration at some point. You know, I noticed OPS around 430 or something like that. That's right. Just not him.
Not
so
good.
Certainly a consideration. Fortunately for the Cubs, they've got the most runs per game in baseball at this point. So I would say probably gets a little more rope, but I doubt it's too much more. Ballesteros is really a good hitter. So That, I think, would be the guy. I think you got the right guy. I just think he probably gets a little bit more rope, but it's not that much more at this point. We are into the middle of May.
Great stuff,
great
John.
Great stuff as always, John. Thank
Thanks.
You, buddy.
All right, great talking to you guys.
Have a good week.